Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning again for those of you who are joining us on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Celeste Elliott, and with me is my good friend and neighbor and expert on all things Celtic and energy
weird.
And all kinds of coolness. So welcome back to, this is the first day of the second season. So I made it through all last season. They didn't kick me off. It was a good thing.
It's a fun show.
Well, thank you. I'm enjoying it so far. And, you know, I got a kick last summer walking around Lilydale, and people would come up to me, and they'd be like, oh, you know, it's good to see you. And I'm like, good to see you, too. And they're like, oh, you don't know me, but I know you through Lilydale Radio. So thank you all for coming up and saying hello. And we had a lot of we had great fun last summer. We had a great season. And, you know, we're still, just so you know, even though the gates go down in Lilydale, we're not doing the outdoor services every day, we are here still. We have not rolled up the roads, although that would explain the potholes, right?
No, that would explain the lack of potholes if we had rolled up the roads.
Darn it. See, here you go, evidence. We are here all year long, and right now we are enjoying some incredible fall weather, and it doesn't really feel like fall yet, does it?
No, it really isn't fall until September 22nd at 9:54 p.m.
That was a perfect lead-in.
Okay.
I almost planned it that way, but I didn't, honestly. That was all Kara. We are talking about the fall equinox today, and a few other very, very cool, interesting events. So keep writing in, keep calling in. We love the comments. We love to hear from you. Very interested in what you think, and what you'd like to hear about going forward, because, like I said, this is a brand new season, so... I will be here live every Thursday at 10 a.m. I'm sure that Kara will be with me, more than once because we have fun together when she comes on. I've got some cool guest people lined up, so please do join in. And for those of you who miss on a Thursday, I stream this live on my Facebook page and on the Lilydale Facebook page, and it is also available in reruns anytime on blogtalkradio.com/Lilydale Radio. And good morning to our friends who are writing in. So,
good morning to everyone.
Yes. Kara brought up something very poignant. Before the show started, she reminded me that tomorrow is a very, very special day.
World Peace Day.
Not world peace.
But peace.
Peace.
P-E-A-C-E.
Peace.
In 1984, and I had to look this up to laugh, because it would not come to me what NGO meant.
Right.
So an NGO agency called Pathways to Peace. Nice. In 84, worked for legislation to make World Peace Day. Now, NGO means non-government
organization. Right.
But I actually had to look it up because I couldn't, what could possibly to mean. But
yeah.
It's really a cool thing because there's a minute of silence at 12 noon. Wherever you are in your time zone at 12 noon, you observe a moment of silence. This creates a peace wave across the country.
Yeah.
The energy, we invite individuals, organizations, communities.
Yeah.
If you're in your car, hopefully you'll hit a red light at noon, so you can do that moment of peace. Wherever you are, please join us. the collective energy. Celeste knows I've been active in other peace movements like Mary Magdalene, et cetera. The combined energy of all of us at peace.
Yeah, that's a very big deal.
It's huge.
Yeah, think about how hard it is for people. You know, we're so kind of electronically dependent. We're so, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, just to take a minute and just breathe and be focusing, using peace as your mantra, and sending that out and breathing that in. That's a, you know, I think if we all did that for a minute every day, we would be better off.
We would be fabulous.
Yeah.
I always like to say it's that piece of the spiritualist prayer for healing that says, and I will do my part.
And I will do my part.
My part is that minute observing world peace.
Yeah.
And Lord knows, in these crisis times, both environmental and economic and everything else, a moment of silent peace is a refresher.
Yes, it certainly is. And it kind of, it's sort of the adult version of, have you tried turning it off and turning it back on again?
Yes.
You're resetting.
At least it's the metaphysical version of have you tried
turning
it off.
Yeah. I can't tell you, I was on vacation a few years ago with one of my friends, and my phone was going absolutely haywire. Same phone, by the way, so it survived. I've had it for like 4 years, but it was going absolutely haywire, and it's like, are you kidding me? We're going to have to spend our last day of vacation looking for a Verizon store because my phone, and that's where my ticket was for the airplane. It was, you know, like if I couldn't get on that, there were a whole lot of things. I couldn't get my car out of hock. Like it was going to be an issue, right? So, and she looked at me and she was like very, very, you know, you could see the calm come over her. And it was like, I watch that with people because I know that is, they're connecting to that that inner energy, that strength within and that peacefulness. And she goes, well, have you tried turning it off and turning it back on again? And I looked at her and I was like, it just hit me like I was stunned for a second, and then I was like, that is the smartest, easiest advice. So that 1 minute to breathe, to meditate for world peace, for personal peace, for inner peace, and and you know, if you like it tomorrow, maybe do it more than once, maybe keep trying it, but that collective energy is incredibly powerful and very, very, very important. So, yeah. So thank you. See, she's full of good ideas. That's why I bring her on.
Is Ashura.
Oh, yes.
Now,
okay.
I know very little. I'm well versed in Celtic culture, but I know very little about Muslim. But again, to know what I don't know, I did some research. Ashura is a religious holiday. And it affirms that good always conquers evil.
Oh, I like that. Oh, we need a little more of that.
Well, and when you think that a quarter of the world's population are Muslim,
right? That's,
they believe that the honoring of this holiday, which is the Islamic equivalent, by the way, of Yom Kippur.
Yeah, which is the Jewish holiday for atonement, I believe.
Right. Right.
Yeah, reflection and atonement.
Well, and they believe that if you fast on Ashura, that it removes all sins from the past year. I could use the fast on most days, but, you know.
I could, well, you know, when, back in the day when I was not exactly a practicing Catholic, I didn't go through confirmation because it didn't quite fit for me. So, and I had already known that at that age, so, but I used to fast for Lent at different times just because I liked the energy of that, and, you know, and I think it was more about the intention and, you know, the getting into, because, you know, if you translate sin, in Greek, it's to miss the mark. And we think of this as, you know, such a, you know, that we cannot be redeemed or something, you know, and so we set up these barriers within ourselves. But, you know, like you said, with the spiritualist prayer, and I will do my part, and it's really about learning to forgive ourselves as well as other people sometimes.
Absolutely.
Know?
Well, it's my favorite lecture adage, when we don't forgive, it's like drinking poison and thinking someone else is going to die.
Yeah.
Because that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, we forgive not because whoever it is needs forgiveness. We forgive so that we can live in peace.
Yeah.
That's really the truth about forgiveness.
You know what's funny is I listen to people talk, and so my mom and her friends having a conversation one day and talking about, you know, when their kids were younger and they would, it would be like, oh, I have to go out to the store tonight, even if it's 8 o'clock, and I've got to hurry, and I've got to get this done, and because it was more of a necessity, you know, because more people were dependent on them at that time. And now they're like, it's not worth it. It's not worth
tomorrow.
It to disrupt my peace. And that was something I was like, huh, you know, I got to remember that. And it's true. It's like if we systematically look at the pressure that we put on ourselves and how little time we give ourselves for spacing, you know, with things. That's another thing.
We were talking briefly about energy. One of the things when I scan energy for people, I clearly see are those places where it isn't about the outside world. It's about us. It's about the things we insist that we have to do.
Yeah.
That we. I often will say to people, you know, if you've not read Don Miguel Ruiz's Four Agreements, pick it up.
Yeah.
Because for me, that was a philosophical change.
Right. Yeah.
To realize if I live those four principles, no one, especially me, could expect anything else from me.
Mm-hmm.
And that especially me part is key because we put so much stuff on ourselves.
Yeah.
And
then
we look around and say, I seem to be failing at all these nonsense things.
So we have a question here that was The Four Agreements by Don
Miguel Ruiz.
Thank you.
It's a great book, short read.
Yes.
But
very powerful. Very impactful.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So
sometimes when I'm looking at my own behavior, I ask myself, which one of the four agreements am I violating?
Yeah.
Because almost certainly I am.
Yeah.
And that helps bring me back to track of what matters and what's important to me.
Yep. And, you know, we talk about in spiritualism, the doorway to reformation is never closed.
In
the
hereafter. Exactly.
So we have lots of things going on right now, universal consciousness, that is saying, let's bring ourselves back together. Let's get into this kind of nesting period within ourselves, that time to go within, you know, whether it is Yom Kippur or Ashura or World Peace Day anything.
Or the fall equinox. The fall equinox has so many names.
Yeah.
Okay, the autumnal equinox,
mm-hmm.
harvest home, Alban Elfid, Helios Day, winter finding. The one I'm most familiar with from my culture is Mabon.
Oh.
And this will be Mabon, as I say, on the
22nd
at 9:54. It falls somewhere in that period between September 20th and 22nd, depending upon when the equinox itself actually happened.
Right.
Now, I got to tell you, Mabon was named for a male fertility god. a Welsh god.
Oh, okay. Well, now
mother,
we know.
By the way, was queen of the underworld.
Hey, you know.
It represents the second of the harvest festivals.
Okay.
again, culturally, my people came from an existence where they were very dependent upon the turns of the wheel of the year. They synchronized their lives by the turns of the wheel.
Yes.
And Maybon is one of the turns of the wheel.
It's interesting that I see a lot of parallels and things that line up between the Celtic culture and the Native culture, the Native American culture.
Oh, many.
Yeah, including the thing about the turning of the wheel, because in Native culture they talk about, you know, they have the medicine wheel and representing of the four seasons. So
one of these days I'll bring my wheel on. I have a brass wheel that we turn with each season.
Nice.
The fall equinox is not a new thing.
No.
I mean, for thousands of years, culture after culture after culture, it comes at a time when the harvest is in.
Yeah.
So that
you can rest.
Yeah. One of the things we commonly think of at Thanksgiving is the cornucopia. Mm-hmm. The cornucopia really originated with the fall equinox. That was the time that you put forth your best presentation of the harvest that the loving Mother Nature gave you.
Thank
and
you for the bounty. That makes sense.
We tend to, at Maybon, to offer things like fruits and cakes. Yeah, that's kind of my theory, too. Yeah, fabulous.
I'm in.
Now, the other thing is that Maybon is exactly like the vernal equinox in March, or as I know it, Ostara.
Yeah.
It's a time when night and day are exactly equal. Now, of course, depending upon where you live, that may not be the case.
Yeah, it is for us.
It is for us.
Right.
It's a time not only, though, of that equality, but it's also the time, Celeste, when for a brief moment, things are in absolute balance. They are, I like to think of it, they are on that precipice, and they are absolutely in balance. So that's kind of a neat thing. We know here the days are going to get shorter, although if we're really honest about it, the days have been getting shorter since midsummer. But
I have to say, though, all redheads are solar powers.
Right, exactly.
So, you know.
And
so
for those
who have silver,
the silver represents lunar powers.
Well, there you go.
Wisdom and
prone. Yeah.
And people, when I say the word prone, people kind of clench. But I actually had
a great thing.
On my 50,
nice.
55 friends gathered from all different traditions of my life, all who had, of course, horrifying stories to tell. And
aren't those the best kinds?
Yeah, they're
though.
Great friends. Astrologers, now I'm not an astrologer, but I would tell you that astrologers know this is when the sun enters Libra.
Right,
and
which
course,
is all
Libra
about
is
balance
the sign
and
of
harmony.
Balance,
I always tell people I know not just enough about astrology to almost sound educated in it. Almost.
I know just enough about astrology not to discuss it because I can't fake educated in it.
I know enough to ask the right questions, and then promptly forget them and ask them again. So,
repeatedly.
So that's my jam. But
now, for my pagan ancestors, when the time marked the turning of the wheel, it was a time that you reflected upon the meaning of death.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's not just a celebration of life. It is. It's certainly of all the fruits and wonderful things. But without endings, there are no beginnings.
Well, and that's the thing. That's the thing about death is it's really just an ending. It's not a forever.
Absolutely.
You know, just like we talk about the eternity of the soul. It's not a forever. It's just a different form.
You are the same spiritual being today as you were 1,000 years ago, as you will be. It is a matter of a different plane of existence.
Right.
Death itself, again, is
transmutation.
And death itself really is only a physical change.
Right.
I think that's one of the things that, you know, for many years I was just an anthropologist, and one of the things that aided me in that profession was my ability to see death as a physical change.
Physical shift.
You know, that's all.
Yeah.
On Maybon, we honor the events that brought us to where we are, and then we let them go.
Nice.
Okay?
Yeah.
We take stock of our personal harvest.
There you go.
We look at the consequences of our actions, and of course, as spiritualists,
yes.
We are mandated to personal responsibility.
That's right. Yeah. We don't have dogma.
Or creed,
but that's one of the tenets. That's one of the things that if you asked a spiritualist to say, what makes you a spiritualist, it would be personal responsibility, and that we just change forms when the body goes away.
Right.
So
this is also a time of elderhood, which, of course, I love. It's the time for turning within for wisdom.
Nice.
We gather this wisdom every year throughout the year. And to remember that at harvest, death seeds birth.
Right.
So there are many
very
traditions
important.
As there are our cultures, but
right.
I basically know some of the Celtic ones, like the Anglo-Celtic harvest home. There are folks who would say to you the Anglo-Celtic harvest home is the witch's Thanksgiving.
Okay. And so that's why, because it coincides with All Hallows Eve.
Samhain.
Taken from the Celtic
exactly.
tradition.
And this for people who are, and again, we say this every time I'm on, and we'll probably always say it. All witches are pagans.
Right.
All pagans are not witches.
Right.
I, for example, was raised in the Druid culture. There are many other pagan traditions out there that have nothing to do with Wicca or witchcraft. But again, that is part of paganism as well. So
there's crossover.
There is. And this is one of the oldest celebrations of the Celtic year, no matter what you call it, and in Europe as well.
So for those people out there who do not know what it means to be Celtic, that means that you are from the Irish tradition, Irish heritage.
Irish, Scottish. I actually did a DNA profile.
Oh, very cool.
99% United Kingdom, Scottish, Irish, Welsh. Probably, I used to only believe I was Irish. And then I happened to see my grandmother's maiden name in the Macduff clan. So in talking with the folks, I now belong to Macduff clan, but in talking with folks, they reminded me it was a very short swim across the channel.
Yes.
From Scotland to Ireland.
Yeah.
So, you know,
that's
the chances
very
are very good that many of us are a combination.
Yeah. And that means that it's the native population of that region.
Yes.
The Celtic.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it
Celtic
is.
Celtic culture. Yes.
In Scotland and Wales, Maybon wines were poured into the ground to honor the aging goddess as she swiftly moved into the cronehood. Now, the reason for that, in Celtic lands, you don't find grapes in Celtic lands for the most part. I mean, you may now, but at that time. So blackberry wine became a Celtic specialty.
Oh, okay.
And in Ireland, blackberries were sacred to Bridget.
Now that was the goddess.
Yes, she's a triple goddess.
Okay, all right. So the maiden, the mother, and the crone. So the three stages of
womanhood.
Womanhood, right. Okay.
Well, and vines also are very prominent in Celtic symbolism.
Yes.
You know, the Celtic sign on my finger, for example, has no beginning, no end.
Okay.
Because like
all
the vines, there are no beginning and no end. In Ireland and parts of Western Scotland and Cornwall, it became customary during Maybon to visit burial mounds.
Okay.
To honor dead ancestors,
mm-hmm.
to especially the female ones, by the way.
Yeah.
It's convenient my culture is strongly matriarchal. One of the reasons that we visit the dead is that we hope our visits will please them.
Right.
And when they return at Samhain, when the veil is the thinnest,
beautiful.
Will look at us and say, you're doing all right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So.
Glad I invested all that time into making sure you lived.
yeah. And the goodwill and things like that. Now,
yeah.
many mounds and cemeteries were really feared by our ancestors.
Right.
But on Mabon, they were safe. And they often would carry lighted gourds, or they would build a Mabon fire, because it is a fire festival.
Yeah, and that would symbolize the returning of the light,
no.
Or that would symbolize...
It's the balance of light and dark making an equilateral cross.
Okay.
That's the symbolicness of it.
Nice.
But again, the light and non-light times... I could never live, for example, in Alaska or somewhere where it was light constantly.
Done that.
I would have to perish.
Not for long, but I've done that.
Oh.
And I have to say I fared much better when it was light most of the time, when I could pull down a blackout curtain.
Yes.
Versus when it was dark all the time.
And there was no pull up the light in
the
curtain.
Yeah. I wish. So... But that's what tanning booths were for at that time. So, you know, you do what you can.
I know.
So,
well, another old Celtic tradition that I still honor, we place an apple on the headstone or marker of our loved ones.
Mm.
We do that because it reminds us of the circle of life.
Nice.
From passing to rebirth. The
yeah.
apple, of course, is a symbol of the circle of life.
Yeah.
So that's done. It's an honor thing. It's
right.
It's a...
Well, they do that. It's similar in the Buddhist culture, where they will have a shrine to the ancestors in every home, and they will do incense. They will put out the offering of fruit. And same with in Mexico, Dia de los Muertos, they put out. They have that one special day, Day of the Dead, where the ancestors are supposed to come over the bridge and visit, or symbolism of the loved ones and their favorite foods, and go to the cemeteries and picnic.
Right.
You know, so it's lots and lots of cultures, just not specifically North American.
Yeah.
United States and Canada per se.
Absolutely
not. Yeah, so it's a very, so nothing overly foreign, but something that, three generations back would have been probably more normalized than it
yes.
is for us. Yeah.
Now, we have a little ritual we do for Mabon, and I brought the ritual vessel for you and I to do the ritual for everybody who's listening.
Very cool.
Because Mabon is a particularly wonderful time to dismiss the negative.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. And it's show and tell. And I didn't even tell you it was going to be show and tell today, guys. but this is happening. And by the way, if you have questions for me and Kara, but probably more Kara because she's the subject matter expert here, please feel free to call in, and the guest call-in is 818-739-8818. That's 818-739-8818, and we will attempt to get to you. We're not doing readings today, but if you have questions about what we're talking about, then please stay on the line, okay? And we will get to you and chronologically, as they say.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So.
All right.
What did you bring?
Well, I brought. This is a water vessel.
Ooh, that is pretty.
And it's been around a long time.
Okay.
And in it is Lake Lily water.
Lake Lily.
Yes.
Not Casadega.
Lake Lily.
But Lake
no,
Lily.
Lake Lily from our beach. Water.
Okay. All right.
And the purpose is to reacquaint us with the soothing aspects of water. Now, remember, of course, on a fire holiday, it would be the exact opposite. Which
okay.
would be earth and north.
Okay.
But this is water and west.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to do a visualization. Close your eyes for a minute. There are three gray cranes dipping and dancing in the waters. Then they fly away. We must release our negative emotions, lest they stagnate and poison us. Reflect a moment as you face the cauldron or the vessel of water. Then dip your fingers in and shake away those emotions from your fingertips. This is for everybody out there. We're doing it for all of you. Oop, I don't want to put this.
That's okay.
Okay. That releases anything negative that you may have held.
Yes.
It doesn't allow you to, what is the word I want, to selectively release. It says
it's all
instead, all negativity. All negativity is released from your emotion, from your life. And, of course, we know that emotion really begins in the sacral chakra.
Absolutely.
And so that it, mm-hmm. it is such a life-affirming.
How ironic. It just occurred to me, because when we talk about the chakra system, and, of course, that is that's from the Vedic system
mm-hmm.
of philosophy, which is very ancient and very... very much around the continent of India, but the second chakra color is orange.
Yes, it is.
And what do we associate with color-wise with the fall, with autumn, is orange. So that starts to make a lot of sense.
Well, and as you really look at it, if you look at the time in which things ripen for us, there's red for the apple harvest.
Right.
There's also some purple for the grape harvest.
Right.
The squash,
yeah.
Pumpkin, gourd harvest is
mm-hmm.
orange.
Yeah.
So as we look at those, it's all cyclic.
Yes.
It's really all cyclic. We like to think, or at least I like to think, I'm something marvelous and special. Of course I am, but it's all part of the cycle of life, of who we are. I'm very fond of saying, Celeste and I are very physically here.
Mm-hmm.
However, we are but two pre-woven by someone far more skillful than me.
Yeah.
The tapestry makes sense if you take the time to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We get
like
so busy. Yeah, we get so busy doing, we forget to be.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a sad thing because
my favorite Deepak Chopra comment is, we are not human doings, we are human
beings. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of difficulty with that.
Yeah.
We do.
Staying in the moment. Absolutely. So, you mentioned a couple of times something about gourds. Something about pumpkins, and that's where, so it's the Celtic culture and tradition where jack-o'-lanterns come from, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So,
and at one time, they were, of course, used as a light source.
Yeah.
I mean, they were a safer light source than a stick burning.
you know.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a true story.
Yeah. Yes, it is. But, gourds also, gourds, pumpkins, squash, hard shells,
yeah.
also have served a purpose to feed the population.
Yeah.
You can store
yeah.
squash and gourds
mm-hmm.
in a cool, dry place for some time,
mm-hmm.
and they will retain their usefulness.
Yeah.
Now, you can also ripen tomatoes by wrapping them in newspaper. But they don't have the length of life that
right.
gourds and pumpkins,
yeah.
et cetera.
the hard shell is kind of key. And that's, I mean, they find even today, archaeologists, gourds that were used as bowls
mm-hmm.
and water containers and that sort of thing. So, you know, our ancestors were a lot smarter than we necessarily give them credit for. And if
I
they
think they were more innovative.
Yes. Well,
they had no
yeah.
choice.
Yeah. Well, it's other innovators, you know, don't survive. So, and obviously they did because we wouldn't otherwise be here.
Yeah.
So,
or would nor would we be discussing those ancestors.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly right. So, but what was? Would you happen to know then? What was the story? Why pumpkins or gourds as a light source or as jack-o'-lanterns versus turnips? Because I always heard something about the Celtic culture and the carving of turnips and lights.
Very common in Celtic celebration. Of course, again, we're talking about people who knew there was nothing to waste.
Right.
Okay, I mean,
yeah.
you know, as people... Everything had to do double duty and sometimes more.
Yeah.
So, and gourds, turnips,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of that, rutabaga,
yeah.
parsnip,
yeah.
those kind of things were easy to grow,
mm.
required little or no, you know, if
yeah.
you watch squash grow,
yeah.
I mean, you probably have to beat it to death.
You
know, one the joke is one zucchini will produce zucchini for a community.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
So that kind of thing, well, when we look at those things, turnips were easily, more easily on. Pumpkin can be quite a trial when you're using
yes,
a sharp seashell.
Yes.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Turnip is a little thinner skinned.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Okay. So it's not that we started with turnip and went to pumpkins to be more showy.
It's not.
One isn't greater than the other in spiritual significance.
No.
It's just how it evolved.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. So now I'm hungry for parsnip. And they get sweeter the longer you leave them in the ground, so hold out.
Yeah, in which case my parsnips would be a long time in the ground.
I hear you.
Yeah.
They don't turn into sweet potatoes at any point. But so for anybody who has questions about what we're talking about today and you want to call in, it is 818-739-8818. Again, that's 818-739-8818. We're not doing readings today, but if you're interested or you have questions about Lilydale or you want to share an experience, please, you know, join in. And I actually do have a caller here. So I'm going to go ahead and jump to that. And the last four numbers of your phone are 1945. So in just a second, if you can tell us your name and where you're calling from, that would be awesome. Good morning. A little lag in this, so sorry about that. Good morning, caller.
Hello? Hello?
Hey. Good morning. We can hear you.
Good morning.
And
what is your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Susan Iona.
Good morning.
Hi, Susan.
Good. Hi, and I'm here with Bonnie Futrell.
Oh, hi.
We're calling from Esperance, New York.
That is not too far down the road.
No, Esperance is actually in the eastern part of the state.
Oh, okay. And what brings you to drop by today?
We've been listening to the show, which has been wonderful and fascinating, but I wanted to lend my personal experience. I have some, my genetic background, I have some Eastern European, and I also have some Polynesian. And in both of those cultures, you can find exactly the same practices around the same kinds of times of the year, even though the times of the year may happen at a different time. In some of these locations, the practices were the same.
That's very, very interesting.
And very true.
Yeah.
Very true. As Celeste pointed out earlier, many of the practices are the same in the Native American cultures as well. They may be called something different. They
mm-hmm.
may happen depending upon whether you're in the northern or southern hemisphere. They may happen definitely at different times of the year. My counterparts in the southern hemisphere will be celebrating Ostara this weekend,
yes. okay.
which is
yes.
their mother feast.
That makes perfect sense. Wow. Okay. So
and I wish that the history of these practices and how really no matter where your ancestors came from in the world, you can find these practices there. I wish these practices could unite us as people instead of we want to put them all in different categories and make it separate us.
Yeah.
I'm very fond of talking about the fact that we share far more commonalities than we do differences.
Mm-hmm.
If we just look beyond what we see and look instead at who we are, there's far more commonality,
yeah.
far more than we realize.
Yeah, and intention. And I think that's something that as we talk about ritual in different honoring the same types of events in different places and in similar ways, you know, that's a big deal.
Well, and, for example,
yeah.
Lilydale in October
yes.
will be holding a fall festival in and we personally
that up beautifully. Thank you so much.
invite all cultures
yes.
to join us in the sharing of the
yeah.
exuberant, peaceful love that is fall.
Yes. Please.
Come visit
yes.
us. We're here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want people to know that I was in no way paid for that lead-in to your promo there.
And we appreciate it. You are so good.
That's true. I can vouch for that. We have no paid spokespeople, but myself included, by the way. But, you know, this is, you know, interestingly, okay, so speaking of Native ritual.
Okay. I'm going to let you off the phone now and let somebody else talk. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you for calling in. So that was a good lead-in, by the way. That was brilliant. I wanted, since we're on the topic, with Fall Fest, because we just finished the flyer last night, so it's starting to make the rounds, various places. So when you find it on the Lilydale Facebook site or you find it on my Facebook site, please share it, okay? We invite everybody to come out. It is like any fall festival in our little town. There is no gate fee. There's no parking fee. And we have all kinds of cool things going on. Friday, October 12th, we have children's story time at the library from 4 to 5. We have a kids movie in the Lyceum building. We're looking at Hocus Pocus for that.
Oh, how fun.
Which is one of my personal favorites. So
I will be happy to dress as Kathy Najami in Hocus Pocus
and
ride my vacuum in.
And all I can say to that is, amok, 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 amok. you know who my favorite is.
Yes.
But which is funny because you'd think I'd be more the Bette Midler. But you know,
no, you're there's a lot of Sarah Jessica.
I'll take it. Either way,
no.
I'll take a fabulous woman. So, and then 7 o'clock, we're doing one of our famous ghost tours, ghost walks. It's a historical walk. There will be people in character throughout telling their story. That's going to be really cool. That starts at the Lyceum. We will have it so that you can, it starts at the auditorium, but. You will be able to buy tickets for that ahead of time online. That's going to go up within the next day or two. And then the fire department is having a very cool special dance with a DJ at the fire department. That's a fundraiser for them. So that's all Friday. So come stay the weekend. What do you think about that? So Lucy's Cafe will be open. Saturday we're also going to have... looks like a hot dog vendor and an ice cream vendor.
Ooh.
And, you know, so there'll be a little bit of something for everybody. Saturday, 10 to 5, we have people selling autumn goods, and we have a pumpkin maze, and face painting, and pumpkin painting, and a pumpkin patch, and all things autumn, you know. We also, very, very fun and cool, we have our very first annual 5K fall walk.
Nice.
So that's going to take you around the grounds, through the woods, visit the fairy trail, that sort of thing. The fairies, we went out, we spoke with them. They've agreed not to migrate out of the woods until after Fall Fest. So they will still be around, and you can check them out. You can have
cool.
a nice chat. everybody, you know, forgets about the elementals, but
they're
you know,
here.
They're here. It was so funny because Kara and I had a conversation last summer or last spring, and I was talking about the wee people, which is a very big part of the Celtic culture as well. And and I was talking about the fairies, and she said, and we both have had these experiences with the elemental people. And she looked at me and goes, "More gnomes here than fairies." And I went, "Yeah, that's true." But to have somebody else validate it, you know, is like, they don't often cohabitate. They sort of have their own villages
right.
and camps. So.
But you have to remember,
yeah.
in the case of Lilydale, that the gnome's job as an elemental is to protect the land and the resources.
That's correct.
Now,
yeah.
that this was at one time, of course, part of the Seneca Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And the gnomes take that responsibility for the earth part very seriously. We also
yeah.
have here an old-growth forest, which
That's
is
correct.
Part of their domain as well to protect. So I believe here, we're so fortunate
yeah.
that all four elementals are able to live in peace here. The Undines, or merpeople, live in peace in the lake.
Yeah.
The gnomes occupy the woods
yeah.
and the earth.
Yeah.
And the sylphs, or fairies, occupy the rest of it.
Yeah.
You can't forget the salamander, though. The salamander represents south and fire.
That's not often talked about. And by the way, when we were clearing, we did a cleanup day, and or actually cleanup weekend, but the main day was the Saturday. And we went out and cleared brush and cleaned the bathrooms and got things ready before camp opened. A group of volunteers, we're very much a very volunteer-oriented community, more so than pretty much anywhere that you can,
oh, absolutely.
You know. So, you know, we live here intentionally. This is, you know, we take ownership of wanting to be good stewards of the land. And we went out and cleared a bunch of knotweed, invasive species. I'm sick to death of knotweed.
Me too.
You know, so we're working on it. But anyway, so, but when we were clearing it, we had to be very careful because there were, it had already become part of the habitat, the ecosystem. And we found a few gardener snakes, you know, and we released them back into the woods. And we found spotted salamanders. And I can't remember if they're technically called white spotted salamanders or just spotted salamanders, but I guess they're not common.
No.
But we have a lot of them because we found, like, a family of 10. And, you know, they were all over the place, so it was very exciting.
Well, and I think one reason that the South and salamanders tends to be more distant is that when we think of fire,
yeah.
we think of terrible destruction.
Right.
Again, there cannot be a beginning without an ending.
Think of how many times some place has burned down only to come back more lush.
And reforested. Yes.
And, you know, by the way, I always, when I chair the outdoor message services, I always tell people, do not smoke in our old growth forest.
Oh, please.
Because we do not want it to burn down. And also, you will give me a heart attack, and I'm too young for such things. So.
Well, and, you know, the joke is, of course, for me, I'm an ex-smoker, and there's nothing worse than an ex-smoker, believe me.
Are you an ex-smoker, or are you an ex-smoker?
I am that kind of smoker who says, if you catch anything on fire in Lilydale, I am going to get you.
Yes.
Because
I don't even like to see people
I understand that. On the streets with cigarettes.
Right.
Or pipes or anything flammable because
right.
I worry that our houses here are very close together.
Yep. Well, and if you know the history of Lilydale, for people who are, you know, familiar with the town, it is a Victorian village. And all the lots are the same size until you get to from South Street to North Street.
They're 40 by 50.
And then from there on, they're a little bit larger because the building codes changed. And the women in town decided, hey, we need more space to clear the land. And they built slightly larger spots of land. You know what's really funny is in our leases, because we have 100-year leases, we don't own the land, but I could pick my house up and take it anywhere I want.
Yeah, me too.
Because that's likely to happen, you know.
Yeah, on my back.
Right. But they it says no livestock
right.
in our lease. And horses must be kept in a certain place. And it's, you know, so every time, so you get a new 100-year lease, but some of that old wording is in there, and I just think it's, I really considered getting a house bunny as a pet. You know, they're litter box trained. You don't have to walk them in the snow. It's a wonderful
right.
thing. You know, I stopped short, but, you know, knowing all of the requirements, because I try to be a good pet parent. I try to make sure I know everything I would need to know before I would bring an animal home. But I would have to get special permission. Because they're technically live, and no livestock in the on the leasehold, unless otherwise authorized by the board. So if you want yard chickens, you have to really get it cleared.
Well, and the laugh at my house is that they're both my Bichons look like sheep.
Oh.
And
yeah.
Abby really looks like a sheep because she's the world's biggest Bichon. And people will go by if they're out in the fence,
yeah.
and of course. Like most over-anxious pet parents, I don't allow them out without supervision in their fence.
I understand helicopter parenting for pets makes sense.
But people
yeah.
will go by and say to me, is that a dog?
Is it? We don't know. So
her name is Abigail Lamb, but yes, she's a dog.
That's adorable. Okay. We do have one caller left that I want to get to real quick, but also, so do check out Fall Festival. We are also having a Native blessing ceremony on Sunday the 14th. That's going to be really cool, and you can buy tickets in advance for that. We're going to put it up on the Lilydale website coming up here, but it is a Native American healing ceremony, and it's about releasing. And one cultural caveat with that actually is if you are a woman who happens to be on what is referred to as her moon time, they're saying is you don't need this ceremony because you're already releasing.
Right.
So just as an FYI, I didn't make that rule. That is a cultural norm. Okay, so our caller here, the last four digits is 6809. So if you could give us your name and where you're calling from. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm having a little sound issues with the computer and my phone right now. My name is Mary, and I'm calling from Florida. I was first introduced to spiritualism through Lilydale because I lived up in the Buffalo area. And I was kind of thinking maybe I'd get a mediumship reading. My aunt passed away 4 years ago today, and I was really hoping she'd come through, but I don't know if you were doing readings today at all.
You know, we're not actually, but I do want to say first off, you know, I'm very sorry for your loss because it hits us no matter how long it's been sometimes. And
I'm having a little problem hearing you. Could you speak a little louder, please?
Well, first of all, I was saying we're actually not doing readings today, but I did want to say, first of all, you know, we're very sorry for your loss because we've experienced that personally, and we know how it is sometimes even with a lot of time in between. But,
right.
You know, when I have spirit people that come through and they talk about, you know, the date of their crossing, they will often talk about it as a kind of celebration for them as an anniversary on the other side when they were,
right.
They had a rebirth into spirit. So,
yes, I understand.
Hopefully you'll be
she
able to
She was very
use that.
Connected. Pardon?
Yeah. Yeah.
She was very connected
well,
to the spirit.
Wonderful. Yeah. So you know that, that you know, they'll have found their peace, you know, as we continue to work for ours. So,
I remind people often that spirit is loving and kind and generous. People who love us on this plane don't stop loving us because they went to spirit. When I say that, I always follow up with my mom is the same bossy cow she always was. But would I expect anything less? No. And would I recognize her? Probably not.
Right.
So I think that those folks who love us still love us and cherish us. And
yes.
My mom certainly interferes every time she thinks I'm going to make a mess. So, you know, those kind of things, I think they're as near to us as we allow them to be.
Yes. Yeah, that would be my experience as well, I have to say. So,
right.
But, yeah, we do thank you for calling in. And, you know, do call in at on other weeks because the other shows we will be doing messages. So.
Okay, I'll do that. The sound... I have to turn my sound on the computer all the way up because I don't hear you that clearly. And I checked other sites, and it's something to do with Blog Talk or your show, and I missed some of it. So,
Okay.
Yeah, it's happened a couple times. Right. It's happened a few times, and at first I overlooked it, but every time I turn in lately, it's just I have to turn my sound so high because it sounds muffled or it sounds like you're talking in the background rather than into the speaker. And I don't want to really miss any of it.
Well, thank you for letting me know, actually. That's a good thing because maybe I'll have to rig up a microphone or something of that sort.
Right,
so.
Yeah. I try to listen as often as possible because I dearly miss Lilydale. I'm in Florida, but Lilydale will always be in my heart.
Thank you.
And you do know there's a place called Pasadena, Florida.
Pardon me?
Do you know about Pasadena, Florida?
I'm sorry to say that it was not a good experience.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm sorry for that.
Oh,
yeah,
it
doesn't have the same kind of people or the spiritual feeling that I experienced at Lilydale at all. It was very disconcerting for me and the people I was with.
Oh,
we're
sorry
to hear that.
Yeah,
yeah, just
okay.
So people know not to expect the same thing.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for your show. Have a great week.
Okay, so that's we're almost out of time. Just wanted to say we are wishing you a very peaceful day. And
join us tomorrow at noon.
Yes, for at noon for World Peace Day. Take a nice deep breath. Send out joyful energy. Feel that within yourself. And until next time. We are also wishing you a good day and good vibes. Bye.
Blessings.
Want to go hiking this weekend?
Can we play catch, Dad?
Can we go for a bike ride? Dad?
Moving is better when it's done together. If pain is preventing you from staying active with the people you love, contact the orthopedic team at Mercy Health today. Each year, our friendly physicians care for pro and more everyday athletes all across Ohio and Kentucky. Mercy Health, healthcare for the universe of you. To find a sports medicine or orthopedic doctor near you, visit mercy.com/ortho.